This is Dennis Michelson, D. Mike. Welcome to the Data Lab. This is where all the hard work gets done when it comes to crunching fantasy football statistics. And if you're not spending some time in your own personal data lab, I'm not really sure if you're going to have a very good 2022 season. And joining me as he does each and every week, it is the professor, Mr. John Bush. John, welcome back.
Thanks, Dennis. I'm a PhD, regardless of what people may think, in biology. So let people know monkeypox is coming. Be cautious. If you see a wild monkey in your street, do not touch him. He might have the pox. No, that's obviously a joke and a poor one. But anyway, no joke. And COVID has not gone away either. So I still think 2022, we're going to see some COVID issues. So get ready for variation and surprises, regardless of everything else we're worried about. That's still out there, and we could see some interesting stuff. And we've got to be flexible this year in the data lab to take account for some of this stuff.
And since we're talking about biology, I want to run my theory by you that I have employed for many years and see what you think. Okay. I have this secret weapon in my arsenal to keep me healthy. And that's I try to have at least one margarita every week, because I have found that a margarita keeps rabid elephants from being a problem. And ever since I started drinking margaritas, I have not seen a single rabid elephant. So it must be working.
Hey, you know, there's the correlation right there. It's probably 100, you know, R value of one. There you go. So actually, though, there's still lots of evidence that red wine once a day with resveratrol in it is good for your circulation. So, and there's some other things that are out there as well that people are finding. And so, you know, do some research, but one little bit of red wine. Now, I understand they have resveratrol tablets. If you are a teetotaler, you could still take the tablet. I don't know if it's as fun as drinking the wine, but if you like a little Italian food once in a while, make sure you have some red wine with it.
Ah, yes. A little glass of Chianti goes really
good. That's right. That's right.
Really good with his liver and some fava beans.
Yep.
Anyway. Yes. Anyway,
okay, back, come back. Come back.
Back to the data in hand. You know, we're in the data lab, and one of my favorite studies that you have been involved with this year, Professor, has to do with comparing data to median data. Mm-hmm. And when I first started seeing the pattern of this data laying out, it really made a lot of sense to me. But, you know, I don't think a lot of people understand why median data in comparing to a median is so important in fantasy football.
You know, if you and ever, you know, people have bought houses, your real estate agent should be using median data for sold houses in your area or whatever. If they use the average, there are going to be some extremes, and those extremes can make you overpay for what is really in your area. So real estate agents I know are all in on median data, because every once in a while somebody's going to drive by your house and say, I'll give you X amount of money for your house. I just love it so. And it's going to be outside the norm. And if you let that influence, well, they got 100,000 more than everybody else. You know, I'm going to sell mine. Your house may not sell like that. So median smooths out the extremes, and it is better to think about extremist data. It sounds kind of bad politically, but when we're looking at performances, there are going to be some four touchdown games out there, and people get all crazy about it and somehow think, well, that means it's always going to happen. median allows us to smooth out, to understand what happens in a weekly way, game head to head, which is really what fantasy is all about. It's a weekly game. It's not end of the season points, right? Unless you play in one of those, then you probably shouldn't be worried about my stuff. But most people play head to head right now, that I think. And so it's a weekly game, and you need to understand what players are going to provide you with nice points in a more consistent way. If you use averages, you could get skewed by a 4-touchdown game or a 0-touchdown game. That can be confusing. Like quarterbacks, for instance, I mean, you could get all skewed versus kind of what do they do most of the time. And I would rather have most of the time versus a roller coaster player that I call them. Like Tyler Lockett's a good example you and I talk about for best ball. Same thing. He's either way up there or he's way down. It's kind of hard to get a so-called average game from him. But median helps smooth out that a little bit so you can judge players more appropriately.
And I've always used median in everything I'm doing in weather forecasting as a meteorologist. If I look at 5 different models and what they're predicting for the snowfall totals, for instance, it doesn't make any sense for me to go ahead and just average those, because one could be full of lousy data and it's going to pull you in the wrong direction. But if you take the median of the 5, or you drop the high and the low and then average the rest, at least it's giving you a little bit more of a data sort. And in fantasy football, I do that with my weekly values statistics that I call best 10, because I use a 2-year data spread to have the games narrowed down, but I don't take the top game for a veteran player. For instance, Tyreek Hill had a 50-point game. That doesn't get counted in his best 10 because that is the outlier. I drop the high score, and then I take the next 10 values. And that way, I am eliminating that one extreme rare event that didn't happen. But the game of fantasy football, you care about 2 things, really, if you want to win your matchup. You care about having that big game, and you also care about not having that really bad game. Like, a really low game from one of your top starters can lose you the week. But if that guy's if his worst game is still better than most of the other players' best games, you're going to be doing okay on his low weeks. And that's where this median data comes into play, because it gives you an idea in a very useful and really quite simple to calculate way, a little better guess on how consistent a player is going to be week in, week out for the future seasons, as well as what happened in the past.
And in biology, when we're doing data analysis, say in the environment, you cannot, what we call giraffes. These are the weird situations that are just so extreme that their head sits above the rest. If you modeled, say, the beaver dams, and whatever reason, there's a mutant beaver and he's, you know, the biggest beaver ever been, he's going to build the biggest dam. If you kind of included that in, then, you know, you could be surprised if you're trying to understand the water, body of water, and all the ecology of a normal or a median beaver dam. So you don't want the giraffes sitting above to confuse you, and because you will overdo things or underdo things. And we want our opponents to start the 4-touchdown player, you know, every week from now on. It's just automatic. You know, one game, whatever, because eventually the rug comes out from under, especially if it's like a Tyler Lockett they'll give you five or six great games, but can you weather the five or six poor games, you know, to try to win that league? And you may have a harder time doing that.
And recently you discovered a really interesting comparison when using this median data study concept with the running backs who finished 9th through 11th in year-end points last year.
Yeah, so it's Kamara, Aaron Jones, and Jacob, and they were like 234, 231, 230. And I'm sharing the screen with Dennis, so that was the first thing. I try to find players, and I call this case study, and I've made a video lesson from it, and it's up on our scienceoffantasyfootball.com website. You can go and see this in your leisure, and you can see all the data that kind of led me to pull these three out, because they were all very close in receiving targets and fantasy points. But I think the way they were consistent about it, Jacobs was very extreme, and Kamara and Jones were probably much different than Jacobs there for sure. So I can't worry about Kamara's legals, whatever. I don't, you know, this is just an example. I'm not saying draft him regardless, because, you know, you got to use common sense. You know, if he can't play half the season or whatever's going to happen to him, for his legal, right? He does have a legal issue out there, doesn't he? Or am I?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
He was involved in an incident out in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
And nothing has been said or done about it ever since. And
it's been quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing, folks. When you're looking at a data study, you really don't care what the names on the study are.
Yes, yes.
Because we're using these data studies to talk about these players, how close they appear to be, but how different they are. And when you normalize that consistency like you do using that median data, you see a big, big swing.
Yeah, and if you and so, Dennis, I'm sharing with you the trend lines across the, you know, the 18 weeks there. And Kamara's in green. And, boy, he gets you – very high above median floor for about the third game through about the 13th game. He was just all in for you. He had a dip, unfortunately, for the playoffs last year, and then kind of maybe came back towards the end. But look at, say, Jacobs. Jacobs barely made it above a median early first, second game, and then stayed consistently below median pretty much the whole season. So if you had him and you're starting versus Kamara and those two went head to head, Kamara would win at least 11 of those head to head matchups. Aaron Jones, on the other hand, had a little bit kind of in between. He was really extreme early last year, dropped really bad middle, and kind of was coming back towards the end. So he was in between a super consistent Kamara and a poorly consistent Jacobs. So he was somebody in the middle here. So how, if you want to conservatively use this data, just don't draft Jacobs at his price point now. But look, maybe to – and price point-wise, I would, you know, avoid – a Jacobs, unless I got a two-round bargain right now, given what I see. I would hate to have him as a starter if I had a choice between Jones and Kamara. I just don't see that based on this trend line.
Yeah, and that's great advice, because while they finished consecutively and really close in year-end points, they were also incredibly close in one of my weekly statistical tools that I use, which is comparing players to a 10-point floor in PPR. Kamara at 86%, Jones was at 83%, and Jacobs was at 83%. So you'd look at that and you say, oh my goodness, all three players are pretty consistent. Yes, they're consistent to a 10-point floor, but you want more than 10 points from your RB1 and your RB2. When we look at their best games, when you look at their big game ability, that's where they separate themselves, which is what we see in this comparison against median data. Alvin Kamara with 29.4 points using best 10. That is quite a considerable, almost 7 points better than Aaron Jones at 22.8. And then Jacobs down at 20.7. That's almost 9 points. That's almost three complete tiers worth of data when you look at it that way. In other words, when you are playing Kamara over Jacobs, you are having the virtual effect of having a 9-point advantage at that position. You're looking at almost a 7-point advantage over Aaron Jones. Now, between Aaron Jones and Jacobs, you're only looking at a 2-point advantage. So it narrows considerably between those two players. But these were 9th, 10th, and 11th in year-end points, once again proving how deceiving year-end points can be to us.
Yeah, and so if people blindly just grabbed, you know, some cheat sheet off a magazine about 2 6-packs in, they look the same. But you'll get a big surprise if their consistency is, or as you say, the big game ability is in 2022 kind of on par with 2021. You'll get a big surprise if you ended up on Jacobs versus probably Jones or Kamara, and you just don't want to be there. And again, everybody can have value. Folks, you need to think about that in your equation. You cannot look at any number as the final say on any of it. You've got to apply some deeper thinking, some system level thinking. And I assure you, Dennis is not a slave to his numbers either. And we don't want you to be. But this is a great starting point and certainly teases apart these apparently same running backs.
Absolutely. And if you look at the change from 1 year worth of data to the next year of data, that's another thing that I look at is the trend line. Is this player getting better or worse or staying about the same? Kamara was just about equal. Jones was down 20% and Jacobs was down 4% from a lower value. So those players are slipping while Kamara's holding his value. Again, this discounts anything that might happen to Kamara going forward. This is just a snapshot at what happened in the past. And you can head over to scienceoffantasyfootball.com. You could read my articles on the concepts of weekly value and my concepts of consistency to a 10-point floor for running backs. And check out that video lesson from the professor about median data at the running back position. You will learn an awful lot. Well, Professor, we touched on a lot of very important things, and boy, there is so much work being done in the data lab. I'll let you get back to it. For the Professor John Bush, this is Dennis Michelson. Thanks for tuning into the data lab here on For Frequency's Sake. We'll catch you next week.
See you next time, folks. Get to work, folks.